end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Hello, welcome to the Dolphin UK podcast. Three wins in a row, lads. Feels like Christmas a bit early, doesn't it? Mr. November, we can call Brian Flores. He's delivering. He's putting some, putting a bit of unease to rest and just getting on with it. So very positive mood, I think everyone's in. Si, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Andy. Hopefully Christmas will come early three more times as well with the way things are going. So, yeah, looking forward to the next few weeks or a series of home games coming up.
Yep, sounds good, mate. And Lee, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, doing well. Like you say, just it's been great to be on the other side of some of those tight games. You know, like, let's be honest, it's not been pretty still, but hey, every time you come out with a W, it makes it so much better. I mean, I've been able to sit and enjoy those evening games. I found myself sitting up watching the Chargers and the Steelers on Sunday night, just enjoying football, whereas the first 7 weeks, it was rough.
Yeah, definitely agree, actually. Like, it's interesting how it affects your mood, isn't it? Like you say, like, you sit down and watch the later games and you're kind of like, yep, handled our business. And yeah.
I found it all right at the beginning of the season because football was back and everything was great. But once you go on a 7-game losing streak for a team that I didn't expect to be bad, like if we'd expected them to be bad, that's a whole different thing. But it's the disappointment kind of mounting each week.
That's it, mate. Yeah. And this time next week, you'll be on your way there, mate. That's right. Exciting thing. And I'll be joining you shortly afterwards. So, mate, that's got to be exciting. How are you feeling? Are you kind of... anticipation, is it growing, or
yeah,
I don't believe it's happening.
I am absolutely ready to go. It's been far too long since I've been to Miami. Like, so I'm privileged to be able to go. I've been every year. Yeah, it's been a long wait. Finally booked my ticket for the game as well, because obviously I've been watching prices kind of go up. It's like I was watching that Ravens week and I was like, yeah, I'll wait until after the Ravens game, you know, because if they were to get beat, then like silver lining, tickets are going to go down in price. I would rather pay more because they're winning. That makes me happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, where are you going to sit, Lee? Where's your ticket?
So, a man of my word, we've talked about it on the podcast. I told you I like to sit at that end zone view and look straight down the field. I am sitting in row one. Can't remember what the block is, but I'm on the opposite end of the field to the tunnel. That makes sense. I don't know what end of the ground that is. It's in the shade though. I'm not sitting there.
Are you in row one at the and the lower
of the upper
block?
Of the upper deck?
Yeah, I'm in the upper deck, but I don't know whether I'm in the same end as you. We'll exchange notes afterwards.
Yeah, so, I love that top down look. You know, that kind of Madden view. I am in block 331. There you go.
There you go. We'll just, I'm not going to do it. Google it now. Otherwise, we'll just be sat here Googling while we're working. But I'll come back to you in a minute on that one. But yeah, very excited. Of course, we got a game against the Panthers to get through before that as well. So yeah, very winnable game. We'll come on to that in a bit. But let's chat a bit about the win at the weekend first. Si, I'll come to you for like your any takeaways that you want to particularly dive into to get going.
Yeah, the first one I want to dive into is, I want to talk about Tua. We seem to be talking about him every week, but as we've said before, when we were sat at 1-7, the main objective was to see how he is going to progress throughout the season. And we've got to the stage now where there are signs he's starting to mature into a really good quarterback. We've seen that over the last several games that he's played. Maybe the Bills game was an exception, of course, but... and especially his performances in the second half of games, they're really starting to stand out now. And then they are noticeably better than his first half performances. I mean, you only have to look at his quarterback rating. In the third quarter, it currently sits at 105.5. In the fourth quarter, it's 103.9. Yet in the second quarter, it's noticeably a lot poorer, 67.8. And of course, the first quarter, 94.1, is only really boosted by his habit of getting off to a really good start in terms of that first drive. So he's noticeably becoming, as I say, a much more experienced and mature quarterback. He's learning every game, it seems. Everything seems to be slowing down for him. He's getting better. I talked about passer rating. I mean, you only have to look at his passer rating for the last several games that he's played. And if you take out the Bills game, which was a bit of an anomaly, he's got he doesn't play well against Buffalo, let's put it that way. But his ratings have been really good. Even in the two defeats to Atlanta and Jacksonville, he rated fairly highly. And that's demonstrating that level of consistency that you want in your quarterback now, I feel. So my main takeaway from the game is that he is, as I say, he's getting a lot better. And one interesting thing to point out as well, he's not thrown for mega yardage at all, yet he's getting the job done. I think in his career today, he's only thrown over 300 yards three times. That was the Chiefs and the Bills last year, which was 316 and 361 respectively. And this year against the Jags, when he threw for 329, and we've lost all of those games. Yeah. So it's almost like when Tua has to throw it to get over and gets over that 300 threshold, the Dolphins lose. But he's not having to throw for mega yardage every game to get the job done. That's kind of my thoughts I had on after the Jets game this weekend.
Lee, thoughts on Tua's performance?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think we've seen, especially in those games, that at times we were chasing, especially in the Chiefs game, and like, let's be honest, we've been behind the Bills for about 3 years now. So it always feels like we start with them with points on the board. But, you know, I mean, I've been obviously on here and been a big fan of Tua all the way through this. Nothing's changing for me. Each week I see what I want. Like, I'm seeing progression. Is there mistakes? Yes. Was the interception was a bad throw. And I think part of the reason it looked like such a bad throw was because he realized as he was letting it go, it was, you know, because he's not even anywhere near Waddle. It wasn't like it was a bad throw that was just off target. Like, it was a real mistake. But I can live with that. We were putting up with that with Ryan Tannehill in year six. Like, you know, I'm willing to let him figure these things out because I think for the most part, he's very secure with the ball. And maybe that's because he, you know, the offense is still fairly, everything's under 10 yards an awful lot of the time. Maybe that's what helps that. But at the same time, he also doesn't put the ball in danger. So, you know, it's still a decision-making process.
You mentioned that interception that he threw, Lee. And what I'm noticing as well is that, yes, that's annoying. And he does throw some boneheaded picks. But what is really impressing me is that he bounces back from them fairly quickly. He doesn't let it bother him at all, which is another good sign of a quarterback who's developing. And he always seems to rebound with a good drive following that pick. And that's another thing that I've really noticed about his play.
I mean, I don't want to kind of overstate it, but I really think that this year, even with all the losses, I don't look back at a loss and say that was Tua's fault. Like, we lost that game because Tua was playing incompetent. Like, he was just not good enough to like, I don't think that, whereas I think that about some of the Jacoby Brissett losses, but I've not thought that about the Tua losses. Like, they've not all been great, but we're still working with, like, was that his 16th game that we just started? Or is it 16 this week?
It's 16 this week. He's played 15.
Right. You know, this is what we're still dealing with, is someone that's not started a full season's worth of games. Like, I'm willing to accept there is going to be mistakes, and I'm not going to hold them against him. When he comes back and does those things, he doesn't go out there and throw multiple picks. The times that he's done that is when we've been chasing the game. He's got no choice but to really, like, throw it out there. I think in my time as a Dolphins fan, Chad Pennington might have been my favourite quarterback to watch because of his accuracy and the fact that he didn't put the ball in danger. And if Tua can perform like that, I'm willing to get the rest of the pieces around him to make the team elite. I think he's better than that. But I think that's a baseline. I'm absolutely okay with that because I enjoyed watching that. And let's be honest, that's the most successful team we've seen as a Dolphins fan in a long time.
I mean, if we were coming to the end of Tua's rookie season and it being his 16th game this week, we'd be really pleased with the position he's in right now. So that's all you can ask for, really.
I think for me, that this was one of the first games that I felt that we won because of Tua. And obviously, like, there's a lot of games where defences kind of pulled us through and that sort of thing. And not to say that the defence was absolutely fine at the weekend, played well, but that second half, it was just getting a bit static, wasn't it? It was kind of like it was three and out, and then Tua took over the game, very efficient, moved the ball downfield, took the big shot when it was there. And I just thought it was the second half was very, very impressive. And I do agree, guys, that after the interception, he just bounces back incredibly well. He's you know, you can be critical. It was a bad throw, but you know, such is life. We're not going to overreact like some of our friends in the Dolphins world at the moment. But like you say, comes back. I actually thought that the throw for the first touchdown into Myles Gaskin was better than the long throw into Mac Hollins, because the pocket completely crumbled around him in the first one. He had to get the ball out accurately. You know, Gaskin got sandwiched immediately as soon as he brought the catch in. Good catch, good hold. But any kind of variation, it gets knocked loose, it gets picked off. I thought it was a very, very good throw for that touchdown.
Bearing in mind, we don't see, you know, you've heard it mentioned in lots of places, that we don't see wide receivers running free like you seem to in every other game you watch. Tua hits tight windows. Like sometimes you just have to be, even in the Buffalo loss, some of those throws were incredibly tight windows. You know, they just leave, you know, I found myself sitting there kind of in pure amazement, like, wow, not only has he got the sort of balls to throw it, but he also makes it. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's got the biggest arm in the NFL, because it's just not true. But when he wants to get the ball there, it tends to arrive. You know, I would say I'm pleased. I also think it's really important that we're saying here that he doesn't get too low when he throws a bad pick or makes a mistake. He also doesn't get too high when they score. It's super level all the way through. And I think it's a really important trait as a quarterback to be able to keep everybody that, you know, if you're trying to mount a comeback, you can't get excited about the first score when you need two. So I think it's a really important thing. I don't like the way the Dolphins have in the last few weeks got into the red zone, taken the ball out of his hands on the first two plays, and then on third down said, yeah, go and get us a first down so we can have another shot of this. Like, it doesn't seem fair. Like, if he can't execute that, let him show that he can't execute that, because I don't think we've seen that that's the case. And I think sometimes we're getting a little bit too cute for our own good. But maybe that's because we're not playing with anywhere near the offense we thought we would have. Maybe they want the bigger guys on the outside, you know, that kind of aren't there right now.
That's it. And hopefully we'll get a couple of those back this week. From what I've seen, I might be wrong, but or Parker and Fuller might be trending towards playing, which could be no reason.
No, I've heard Fuller isn't. I think Flores said it on Monday that he was. Is that right? I'm not sure about Parker though.
I was going to ask you guys. I hadn't seen anything this week. Been
one of you Google, but I think I saw that Parker was trending in the right direction. I genuinely thought I'd seen Fuller as well, but never mind. If not,
that would be. I think that would be a massive get if you can, because I think we can all be down on Parker at times because of his injury history and stuff like that. But I think when you saw him in the Buffalo game, he can also change games really quickly just by being on the field. I think getting him back would be quite good for this team. We've got to bear in mind, we say they're on a three-game win streak. We're on a three-game win streak with some really good players to come back from injury.
Yeah, feels like the middle of last season, doesn't it, where things are just rolling along and we're getting the job done, but we could be healthier and we could be better. So it's interesting. And when you look at the receivers again from Sunday, obviously Hollins gets the big catch that pads out his stats, two receptions, 72 yards. But then your normal Waddle and Gesicki, and after that, it's not great, is it? Smythe, the fourth receiver, Shaheen, one catch, Wilson, three catches, 18 yards, Gaskin, three catches, 7 yards, touchdown, obviously. But again, you look at any other NFL sort of roster in the space where you think that the Dolphins should be, and the pass catchers read a lot better than anything. Like Waddle and Gesicki, I can get into most teams in this league. Beyond that, it's basically practice squad guys for a piece of players again. And we've said that for about, you know, a year and a half now, haven't we? So it's really annoying. I wonder if they'll address it in the off-season a bit more. They'll just clean house apart from those two guys. Hopefully bring back Gesicki and then just, you know, restock the receiver room with something else.
Yeah, just an update on Parker and Fuller. Apparently, they are both eligible to return from IR, but the team will see how this week goes. Nothing definitive at the moment.
I'd love to see Parker give it a go. I'd say I've seen some interesting things over the last week about Will Fuller. I to be honest, I've written Will Fuller off until the end of the season. I don't see it, but
that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I'd rather he didn't play, to be fair. But there we are. But interestingly for the weekend, I think Parker's the kind of guy you want to go up against that Carolina secondary. They've obviously lost JC Horn and have a couple of parts in there, and he's going to occupy whoever they've got as their first corner and free up some of the other guys, isn't he? So
I think he also extends the offense just slightly. I still don't think we're going to become like some sort of big play offense, but I think they're far more trusting of him in that 10 to 20 yard area where he can just open things up a little bit for Tua on the offense. So I think just him being out there is a massive get. I really think that, and he's really got a good pair of hands, you know, when he's fit and healthy. I think, you know, we saw a glimpse of it in the Buffalo game where you're like, oh man, this is why we're annoyed when you're hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And the difference is that we all said that you can get the ball into tight windows with Tua. He's a contested catch specialist. So it just all adds up to being a good relationship, doesn't it? So all good. Guys, moving on quickly. I've got like an interesting one, which I noticed on Twitter earlier, which is quite weird, is that we're not playing Zach Seeler a lot on the defensive line. He's been getting very minimal snaps, but having good impact when he's getting in there. I'd be interested for your take on that. Obviously, Raekwon Davis and Adam Butler and co all kind of in that same position. But Seeler seems to be really good when he's on the field. Lee, is there a reason, do you think, why we're not seeing a bit more of him?
I wonder if it's just a battery thing. You know, it's we can put you out there a lot in the first half, but then we're going to lose you in the second half, and we want to keep that rotation to keep him fresh. I mean, I'm completely guessing here. I have no sort of inside knowledge about this, just guessing. I'd be very interested to see what his usage was the last 3 weeks prior to the Jets game than compared to the Jets game. I've got some interesting thoughts about the defense on Sunday.
That last four games is played under 20% of defensive snaps.
And I'd say I wasn't actually that impressed with the defense on Sunday, but the 3 weeks before that, I think it's been their best 3 weeks of the season, and their most similar performances to last year. So, maybe we think he's playing good because he's there at the end of plays, but maybe he's not solid enough in what he's actually being asked to do, because obviously we don't know exactly what his job was. Just because you're around the ball at the end of the play doesn't mean that you've successfully done your job. I don't know. Completely guessing. I just think on Sunday as well, I didn't see Brian Flores with a play sheet in the first half, which the three games previous to that, he had it the entire game. And I thought it was our softest looking defense for 3 weeks. Could be the Joe Flacco effect that slightly you were taking on a far more mature and kind of seasoned quarterback. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. In the second half, I asked someone that was in the stadium if Brian Flores had a play sheet. They said, this was at halftime. They said, didn't notice him with one in the first half. Then he texted me about 4 minutes later and said, scratch that. He's just come out and he's got one in his hand. And I wonder if it changed in the second half, because they did seem to clamp down a little bit in the second half. Obviously, they gave up the big play, but I think that was more Byron saw what he wanted and went for it and got burned. But to be honest, I don't have a problem with him doing that. You know, if he picks it off, I'm sitting here saying it's a great play. He misses and the guy goes to the house. I think, you know, it is kind of, that's the risk you take.
Is what it is, isn't it? Well, it wasn't game costing, so just move on from it sort of thing. Yeah. Sorry, are you coming in there, mate?
I was just going to say, maybe it says something about the way the defence are performing as a whole. I mean, it goes back to the old saying, why change a winning formula? And the defence have been relatively successful over the last 3 or 4 weeks, so why change that? And if that means he plays a lower number of snaps, then so be it.
Yeah, as long as he's effective on the snaps he's in, I mean, that's really the biggest thing. Like, we're not sitting here saying, oh my God, we're playing terrible and he's not playing, so he has to play, which, by the way, we did it, and so did most people when we wanted Liam Eikenberg at left tackle. See how that's panning out. you know,
Liam Eikenberg didn't want Liam Eikenberg at left tackle because he's always said he's a right tackle.
But he is. That's where his best performances were. But you know, we wanted him there desperately over Austin Jackson, and we kind of got what we asked for.
Although Jackson is playing better at left guard, to be fair.
He's playing better at left guard, but we've improved none at left tackle. So
yeah. I do wonder if we get to the end of the year, bin Davies off and move Eichenberg back to right tackle and bring in another left tackle. I've been getting into draft brain already, and I can see a lot of 10 to 20 sort of tackles. I saw a mock earlier with Alabama tackle Evan Neal getting to us at for 14, I think it was. So that'd be interesting. And I do hope we do address it again the first round this year, but getting way too ahead of myself there. I just thought it was an interesting point with Sealer because we've seen that he can be effective. We've given him that contract because he can. And I know that Raekwon Davis is effective. I know that Christian Wilkins is effective. But just an interesting observation because I always associate him with just good play and making a difference. Also, defensive line related, Jalen Phillips, another sack this week, still going up in the world. Very impressive. And it's definitely too early to kind of definitively say, but do we think that this year's first and second round draft class is kind of saving Chris Greer at the moment? It's been a good draft class, to be fair, at the top end, you know, based on initial looks. Si, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first round, obviously you've got the two Jalens who are doing relatively well. And of course, Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens came out the other week and said Jalen Waddle's going to be a top 10 next season. So if that comes to fruition, then yeah, you could justify his selection, of course. Javon Holland also is surely got to be a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year. And obviously the outlier here is Eichenberg, but obviously we're not writing him off yet, and he's still learning, of course. So we'll see what happens with his career, but at least three out of four are looking good at the moment.
And that enough to kind of put your faith in next year's draft class in Greer again?
Not that we can have a say in that at all, no. But they may not have any draft picks to next year, depending on what they do with the Watson thing. So let's wait and see on that one. But it's very 50-50, isn't it, with Greer at the moment. The 2020 class isn't exactly anything to write home about, Tua aside, certainly with Jackson and Noah, of course, I'm more referring to. But thankfully, he seems to have redeemed himself in the last one. But who knows what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about Deshaun Watson for at least 2 weeks, which was the first time in a long time. So that was a positive.
On that note, do you think Tua's doing enough if he carries on the way he's been playing now and he maintains this level of good play for the rest of the season? Do you think that's enough to put the Watson thing to bed or not? Or do you think they're just going to do it anyway?
It feels
not
to me
that
like,
we have to get into any detail now. But
yeah, like it just feels to me like it's inevitable. And if it's not Watson, it could be somebody else. I don't know why, but the fact they were having the conversations and it doesn't look good for the organisation, and the organisation have denied the fact that they'd spoken to Watson or anything the day before the trade deadline, just feels to me that something's going to happen anyway, isn't it? And I don't know about you guys. I mean, Tua's played well, don't get me wrong, but I think they're looking for kind of lights out, you know, the single creative spark on this team. And I still don't know whether he's kind of living up to the expectations in their minds. And thus, I think it's still very possible that they do something. Lee, what do you reckon?
I don't think I think it coming down to Tua's play for me is past. I think the price will go up too much in the offseason. He'll either be available and people will know his legal situation by then. Plus, by then, we're going to have a bunch of teams that are ready to offer up picks for him, and we'll know that they're not continuing with their quarterback. And I don't think we're going to get into that. Flores, Greer seem to be, if they're still here, then they might still want Watson, but we also know that they have that sort of hard cutoff where they say, we're not going to pay more than this. So I don't see that they're going to do it. Also, I think if we think the organization looked bad because this was even a thing, it's going to look really bad that when they denied it, went through the rest of the season just to do it anyway. you know, like, if they don't, they can say, see, we never really wanted to do it in the first place because we never did go get him. And for everyone that definitely wants Deshaun Watson, I just caution slightly. This is the same people that we've trusted to go out in free agency, and they've cut everybody after the first year and trusted them with all the draft classes. And we've just said, did the first two picks of this year's class save them? But we trust them to go get a quarterback and make that decision correct. They've got to turn around their fortunes in free agency. If that's I know it's not technically free agency, you'd have to trade for him, but you know, their talent evaluation would have to be better than it's been in the last 2 years.
All enjoyable hypotheticals, lads. I do enjoy this bit of the show every week. Just one good. You made a really good point though, in the fact that there's no consensus.
I always make good points.
Oh, exactly. One in particular is that there's no consensus QB1 in this upcoming draft class, and thus the guy at price just feels to be definitely on the rise, especially if the legal situation clears itself up. But yeah, the fact that you're kind of starting to see those mock drafts and your first quarterbacks going at 10, 12 on the board, and to teams like Washington where they've, you know, clearly got two sort of bang average quarterbacks as their options there. You know, it just feels like someone's going to be willing to pull the trigger on a stupid offer. I just really hope it's not us. But
it always is. If anyone ever remembers Kevin Cobb coming in and playing for Donovan McNabb as a backup in Philadelphia many, many years ago, it was in a race to see who could sign him in the offseason because he played like 3 or 4 games and played good, but on a really good team. And I think Buffalo ended up paying the most for him. Maybe it was Arizona. He went for a couple of teams. He was a backup quarterback. And guess what? He played like a backup quarterback. Brock Osweiler. Do you know what I mean? We've seen it so many times. You know, there's going to be people out there who are right now sitting on a quarterback and thinking, like, if I'm Philadelphia, I've got all the options in the world. If there's not a quarterback I like in the draft, I've got the ammunition to go get one if I want one. Yeah. And if not, I can stick and build around Jalen Hurts of all the picks I've got. They have got the most options.
Are you excited for the Taylor Heineke-led Miami Dolphins next year? That's the question.
Is that another one of your favourites then, Andy, to go with Rodgers and all the others?
Rodgers is fine. I'd still take Rodgers. I'd probably still take Jay, to be fair. Love the guy. But Heineke just feels like he's like just got that, you know, that comparison lead just made. Someone's going to pay him a lot of money because he can move the ball without too much difficulty, but he doesn't really move it very well. So, yeah, go on, mate.
If they did sign Taylor Heineke, he'd fit in really, really well at the Dolphins, actually, because they've just signed a big sponsorship deal with Heineken, haven't they? So you imagine the marketing opportunities with Heineke and Heineken.
God, I know. He'll be doing the next World Cup. They always do the World Cup, don't they? Yeah. Anyway, any more takeaways from the game that we want to talk about this week? I just want to say Patrick Laird made like one play in the game. It was that first drive where he like, you know, shrugged off a couple of tackles. That was an excellent play. Got the retweet from his mum or his girlfriend. Couldn't really work out which is quite difficult. Different.
That's concerning.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was his girlfriend or his wife because they had I looked at her profile actually because I was curious, and she had a picture of 6 young children as a banner picture on Twitter, so I presume that would be his.
Yeah, that makes sense. Patrick's going to have to do a bit more of those big moves if he's going to keep 6 children a life of luxury, any god.
He might have to do that if he wants to keep Duke Johnson from playing, because I'll be honest, it was only a few plays, but I thought they were all positive plays. He looked assured. Do you know what I mean? He hit the hole better than I think I've seen any of our running backs do this year. I think there's a possibility here that by accident you might have stumbled across, you found your guy to go between the tackles where you can then use Myles Gaskin in the way really that you should be, which is more to the outside and in the pass game. I thought Myles Gaskin had a good game, even though the numbers weren't flashy. I thought he did all the stuff that you needed him to do and was safe. So I thought he deserved a lot of credit. But yeah, I'd be happy to see some more Duke Johnson this week to see what it is.
Yeah.
Talking of Myles Gaskin, actually, just a sidetrack a little bit. I've got Gaskin in a dynasty league, and I've been offered Kareem Hunt and Latavius Murray for Miles Gaskin. Do I accept the trade or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you don't even need Latavius Murray. Just take Kareem Hunt. Do it. That's a smash accept, mate.
Consider it done.
Do it, mate. But yeah, I've been saying I'm excited for Johnson, you know, a few weeks, and I wanted to sign him before we did. This makes too much sense. I do also think that, you know, Lee, you talk time and again about the humidity of playing in Miami, how it kind of puts teams off. But let's just remember where he played all of his college ball.
Yep.
I'm excited to see him play there, man. Like, I mean, I was watching, I have to do it as a Florida State fan, I was watching the 2013 season back the other day, FSU versus Miami, great game. Jameis Winston dominated it, but on the other side,
we're not signing Jameis Winston. Just give it up.
Other side of the ball, Duke Johnson absolutely killing it, looking every bit the sort of, you know, dominant lead back. And you know, it's 8 years removed. I'm not being ridiculous, but he's just got something that our other running backs don't have. Let's just hope he kind of works it out for us.
I thought it was great in his post game presser, like, there is a guy who is genuinely happy to play for the, like, he's living out a dream. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously he's been an NFL player. He's been a good NFL player, but this is different. This is playing for your team. And I think you could see that it meant something to him. And I think it's something you can't replicate. It's something you can't make up. You can't, you know, there's players that love playing for teams because they play there their whole career. But there's nothing like playing for the team that the place you came from, the team you support as a kid. Like, when he was talking, you know, he loves everything Miami. Like, this would mean, he feels like the fans' player, because that's how we would feel playing for our team. Do you know what I mean? We might not be from Miami, but, you know, we know how this team affects our mood, come win or lose, and everything in between. You know, I don't know. I was just, that excites me. I love to see a player that, you know, is genuinely just excited to put on a Dolphins uniform.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And I think that's the same with like Jalen Phillips and stuff as well, isn't it? Having played college ball there and stuff. So, yeah, good points all around. Any more on the New York game, or do we want to shift along? Right, we'll move along then to the Panthers. Lost at the weekend. The big return for Cam Newton. I did like seeing that, actually. Like, I don't dislike Cam Newton, but there's an arrogant side of Cam Newton, which, like, you know, it's just quite nice to see him humbled every now and again, especially at the hands of Ron Rivera, who's just genuinely seems like a top guy and a top coach, doesn't he? But, yeah, anyway, Si, your kind of initial thoughts. You know, I tweeted the other day saying we've got three back-to-back winnable games, but on the flip side, all three of those teams are going, this is a winnable game against the Miami Dolphins. What are your kind of key sort of thoughts for the game against the Panthers?
I mean, you mentioned about Cam Newton being a bit of a character, and that's all he is now. He's a bit of a character. I don't think his play is anything to write home about any longer. I know he gave the Dolphins trouble in the first game he played for the Patriots last season, but we handled him quite well in the return at Hard Rock. And from a defensive point of view, I would expect the same thing again, because he's certainly not the quarterback of old, I feel. The difficulty for this particular game would be where people perhaps would underestimate the Panthers' defense. Everyone's saying, yeah, it's a game we should win on paper, but people seem to forget that their defense is actually ranked number two in the NFL at the moment. And they rank number one against the pass, which of course is where we would expect the Dolphins to have success in, if they want to win the game. So I think people are perhaps underestimating the Panthers defensively a little bit. So I think it's going to be a really tough game. I don't think it's going to be as easy as potentially the next Jets game or the Giants game. So this one is really key if they want to get back to that 7-7 mark. This one is important. And of course, they've got Christian McCaffrey to deal with as well. And I know he's had injuries this season, but he is still an elite player. And if they want to get one over the Panthers on defense, while they're on defense, they need to stop Christian McCaffrey more than they do Cam Newton, I think.
Yeah. And he had a great catch at the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw it. His touchdown grab was absolutely insane. Sort of, you know, down the seam, getting up like a 6'5" receiver to make the grab. So, yeah, very very exciting prospect to watch, but not when he's against your team. I also think that the pass rush from the Panthers, I've just reminded myself of the names again, Hassan Reddick, Brian Burns and co. They've got a very, very good pass rush, haven't they? And then you kind of look at the secondary, Stephon Gilmore, we're well versed in. That's why we need Parker back to kind of re-educate him. AJ Boye is probably slightly over the hill, but you know, very good upper class, upper tier quarterback, cornerback. Jeremy Chin, fantastic safety as well. So, yeah, I feel like it's going to be a really tough matchup there. Like I say, it'd be great to have Parker back, not just for the Gilmore factor, but you know, make things happen. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a real test for Tua, one of those ones where our defense could do exactly the same as what their defense will do, and it's going to take a, you know, a spark to put us over the edge. Lee, your sort of thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you guys have said. I also think we have a unique opportunity to test this defense in maybe a way they haven't been tested yet, where we're not looking for those shock plays down the field, not very often. Like, let's be honest, we don't do it. And when we don't do it well anyway. So, we tend not to. Everything's in that 5 to 10 yards. These are going to, you know, we need to do what Tua has shown he's more than capable of doing. We just need them to do it with a little bit more consistency. Does it to start the game? Does it basically most of the second half? Now, let's figure out that back into the first quarter, second quarter thing. Long, sustained drives. Because let's keep that defense out in the field. Do what they did to the Ravens. Keep them moving east and west, not necessarily north and south. Lots of running in the heat. You know, come and suffer down here. Like, we know we need to play that, not putting the ball in danger, taking what's open, like, say, long, sustained drives. And I think there is a way to tire this team. But don't be surprised if this is a, you know, this is going to be a close game because it's difficult. I think some of the shine's going to have rubbed off a little bit of Cam's return. You know, you got that boost in the first week up in Arizona where it's exciting because he's coming into the game after obviously not starting because they just signed. And then you get the return home last week. So I'm hoping like some of that's worn off. We know, you know, there's a reason Carolina let Cam go in the first place is because he's not the Cam Newton that we've seen win an MVP and go to the Super Bowl and stuff like that. Like, so Christian McCaffrey's a focus because I think if Cam beats us with his arm, then, you know, couldn't do it last year as a Patriot, treated in the same way, and it's going after McCaffrey. But with the Panthers defense, yeah, I'd like to see a lot, say like the Thursday night game, a lot of East and West stuff, a lot of motion, keeping people moving out in the sun, make them suffer.
Yeah, and I did read at the weekend actually that their game plan was to start Newton and bring in PJ Walker every now and again, which they didn't end up doing, and that was because of game script, etc. But I wonder if we see that at the weekend to kind of keep things fresh and mix it up for our defense. But even if they do, who's PJ Walker? And I'll say that and definitely like jinx us to give up a 100-yard touchdown to him now. But you know, like it shouldn't be something that this defense is scared of.
Also, you know, we shouldn't be scared of Cam. Cam's not played all season. He's now played in back-to-back weeks. Like, you know, we know how long it takes players to get acclimatized back into the season again. You know, we can't walk in there afraid of him. Respect him for sure, but we can't be afraid of him. And I don't think they played afraid against Lamar Jackson. And I would be treating Cam very much the same way.
Yeah, be interesting to see if they employ the same sort of all-out blitz. Sometimes I wonder why we don't do that every week, but obviously you cotton on to it and be able to beat it eventually. But it's just so fun to watch that defense, isn't it? I mean, you know, when I'm doing my college scouting and stuff, I literally focus on wide receivers and that's about it, really. But that all-out blitz defense is just exactly what, you know, makes defense interesting, doesn't it? And I know that, you know, Lee, you're a purist and you'll be finding like every sort of defensive snap interesting, I think, but I just love it when we get into the quarterback and rushing things. That just makes me excited.
I think it's where we play our best football, and I'm willing to, I've said it last few weeks, I'm willing to live and die by that. If we go out there and play that style of football and get beat because Carolina figured it out, I can live with it. but I can't live with the soft defense we played to start the season. You know, I think the Jacksonville game was, I think, more injury related than it was necessarily just wanting to play soft. But I think the last 3 weeks before the Jets game, we showed enough that we had Robert Saleh scared enough to play Joe Flacco because he didn't want to put a rookie in front of Brian Flores. And I really think that's what happened. I said I was lucky to be a guest on Jets podcast last week. And I actually said the same thing. Like, I wouldn't have put Zach Wilson in even if he was healthy, because I would let him stand on the sideline, watch this defense, see what it's like, then play them in 4 weeks. He's got to play them, but for his long-term development, I think maybe watching them and then having a chance to play them is a different animal than go out there. And I think they would have played differently against him, you know, compared to, I think we saw a little bit more respect for the fact that Joe Flacco is a smarter and more seasoned quarterback.
I like the way you use the word seasoned, as in old.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, past it, but you know, let's be honest. You saw at times there, you could see the danger. I don't think it was the wrong decision if you're trying to win the game. If you're the Jets, I think he gave you the best chance.
Yeah, for sure. Right, lads. Predictions. Let's go around the table. I realise we didn't do game balls as well. Should we mix them in together? I'm pretty sure you're going to give it to Tua, which is a standard week of game balls. But go on, game ball and Panthers prediction.
Yeah, I did have Tua as my game ball, seeing as he was the only takeaway that I had. Went for him. And I agree with Lee, and I think it will be a close, hard-fought game. I don't think there's going to be an explosion of points because I think the defences are too good. But having said that, I think the home advantage and the heat of Florida is going to be a home advantage this week. And I'm going to go for a narrow 17-10 victory for the Dolphins.
Sounds good. Lee, go on.
So I have a big prediction. We're looking forward to this. So I'm going 24-21, but with a walk-off Jason Sanders field goal, because I believe it's what he needs to get back on track. Because we've seen some concerning things, and I think you can't replicate that actually kicking a game winner. And I think this is the week to go out and do it and to get himself back on track.
Have you been listening to the 3 yards per carry podcast?
I started it, but I haven't finished it. I'm only about 10-15 minutes in.
You need to go on their show because they, I think Alf and Simon said exactly the same thing.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I apologise. Copying you guys. I haven't finished it yet.
You need to be on their show, I think, not ours.
But yeah, I just think for his confidence, you know, that it just kind of makes sense. Clearly, whatever's knocking his confidence right now is a struggle, and it's not something we've seen from him. So, yeah.
Did you give a game ball out? Do you want to give one out? Go on.
Yeah, I mean, being unoriginal. But yeah, I'll go with Tua as well, because I think the coaching staff kept the points off the board at the end there. I think if he does that, you know, they've actually put up best part of 30 points, and we're thinking this is a far better, you know, I think he kind of almost not scoring the touchdown makes it, I don't know, somehow look worse for Tua. But I think really, Tua managed to move forwards on a 1 yard play and got awarded absolutely nothing. Oh, by the way, another takeaway, the refereeing in this game is absolutely atrocious. To be fair, for both sides, it wasn't just in the Dolphins. I did feel it was slightly more against the Dolphins, but you know, there were some awful calls in this game. But I think I would have let Tua run it again because I think he would have got first down. And to be honest, 4th and 1, give me Duke Johnson on 4th and 1.
Yeah, fair comment. You two need to get Tua tattoos, I think. I think that's what you need to do, matching Tua tattoos. But, not that there's anything wrong with being passionate about your guy, don't get me wrong, but the geezer's got gold footballs with Cy and Lee written on all year.
I thought the offense did enough. I didn't think anyone was special on either side of the ball. I think they did enough. The whole team just did enough. At the same time, I never felt like they were going to lose either. I, for some reason, even when the game was tied, it was, I don't know, just they kind of felt like the better team.
Yeah, I was the same, to be fair. I'm going to give Mark, go on, sorry, do you want to go before I...
Yeah, I just want to pick up on what you said, Andy, around about our thoughts on Tua. I mean, at the end of the day, there aren't too many players on the team who are good enough to be worthy of a game ball, who stand out week after week. Yeah, you're going to get the players like Jerome Baker and your Javon Hollands who contribute steadily, but in terms of standout play week in, week out, you've only really got a handful who you would obviously say are worthy of a game ball, and that's the likes of Waddle and Gesicki on offense. Nobody else is going to be, has really shown any signs of earning a game ball, because they're not good enough. And then on the defensive side, I've already mentioned a couple of players, and they rely on the defense playing well as a whole, I think, to earn that. So you say that we're kind of in love with Tua every week, but really, who else is there that earns it every week at the moment?
Yeah. I'm going to give mine to Mac Hollins this week, because I think he turned that pass from Tua into a touchdown. And then I just like Mac Hollins as well, because the guy just contributes like effortlessly. He brings the energy, which, you know, we've all played sport. If you're not one of the top two or three guys on a team and you're just the kind of contributor, it's very difficult to bring in energy. You know, in terms of talent, I mean, like, you know, if you're like the captain, but you've not got, you're not one of the better players, then, you know, it's your responsibility to bring the energy. And that's exactly what Mac Hollins does. You see him up and down on the sideline encouraging players, even though they're better than him. And sometimes, you know, that's just all you need for your team unity. Contributes on special teams. Got his reward at the weekend for kind of, you know, creating separation. Lo and behold, Tua found him when he created that separation and made it. So, rare game ball for Mac Hollins. I'll come to you, Lee, before I give my prediction. Go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Mac Hollins is so underrated. And we were saying, you know, you mentioned earlier about cleaning house and the wide receiver. He'd be another one I'd keep around. But I don't think... He brings some stuff that's really hard to replace. And I think he also completely accepts what his role is. He knows if Fuller and Parker are healthy, the chances are he's going to spend a lot more time on the bench. And that's not, you know, I think he knows that's what it is. It's not, you know, an insult, but if you can accept your role and then excel in it, you know, that's far better than somebody who thinks they're a number one when they're not, you know. I think he's really underrated, but yeah, a great player to watch and so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Prediction. I reckon we're going to have our first overtime of the season. I think it's going to go to overtime. 17-all, and then we're going to win on a walk-off field goal that way, mate. That's what I reckon. There's my prediction. I reckon, like, two very even defences, and it'll be whichever offence gets into rhythm in overtime that wins it. There you go. There's my obscure prediction to kind of go along with Lee's kind of very specific walk-off one.
So. Sorry.
That's all right, mate. And we've just discovered that Lee and I are sat in the same block for the Giants game. So that's exciting. Go on, mate.
I was going to say, we did play an OT game this year.
Did we?
Yeah, against the Raiders.
Oh, mate, that's so long ago that I've forgotten.
I was like, I'm pretty sure we played an OT game.
Fine. All right. Well, our second overtime game of the season then. And we're going to win this one, all right? Our first overtime win of the season, mate.
That's all that matters, is winning.
That's what matters. But yeah. Mate, buzzing to see you in the Giants game. Should be a good one.
We're six rows apart, and we're sitting in the same. We're the same seats. Both seat eight. There you go.
We didn't even plan it like that, right in the stadium that size. So how does that happen? So there you go. But the missus will be good. We can send my wife does a lap of the stadium during the game because she couldn't care less. So she goes and looks in the shops. And goes and like looks at all the different food options. So we'll just text her order, and you can come and sit next to me.
Nice.
I was going to say, Andy, you should send her down to row one and to sit in Lee's seat, and you can sit behind me.
That's absolutely fine with her, I reckon. But we went to a Patriots game a while back when we went to Boston, and I don't think she watched more than 2 minutes of it. She was like, just stood in the women's toilets warming up because it was that cold. She said she was just stood next to the hairdryer the whole game.
Hey, she won't have that problem in 2 weeks' time.
Here. Right, let's get out of here, guys. Oh, quick shout out to Phil Scullin, who won our competition on Twitter. I'm going to get the ball out to you very shortly, mate, if you're listening. I just need to work out how to deflate it because at the moment. I haven't got a box that works for it. So
just ask Tom Brady.
There you go. That's the layup I was after, and he's taken it. Perfect. And we'll get out of here on that note.